So the entire book of 1 John is written to help us to understand fellowship with God. Is everything okay over there? Okay. All right, good. Okay. That's good. Okay. 1 John chapter 1. Let's go ahead and do this to get our bearings. Let's read verses 1 through 9 of 1 John. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we can spend together tonight, both in your word and then also later on looking at the different business of the church as a congregation. We pray, Lord, that as we meet tonight, that you would be pleased and that we would be refreshed in our thinking when it comes to what abundant eternal life is intended to be, and also how we can have it and maintain it through fellowship with you. And help us, Lord, tonight as we look at your word to see your truth and to apply it to our lives. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. So if you can imagine getting married, and immediately after you get married, you decide that you're going to live apart from each other. And not just for a month or 6 months or 10 months or 2 years, but like 20 years. You just decided you're just going to live apart from each other. You'll check in every once in a while, make sure each other's okay. You'll even make sure that, you know, you're taking care of food and clothing and, you know, that's all taken care of. But when it comes to anything else, any blessings of marriage, any enjoyment of marriage, that's all just going to be, you know, that's all not that important. You know, you just as long as you guys can cohabitate without cohabitating and get along and that would be great, right? Well, that makes no sense whatsoever. Sometimes we tend to do that in our Christian lives when it comes to our relationship with God. We come to Christ, and then instead of having a constant fellowship with God, it's like we just check in with him every once in a while. Instead of having a relationship with him, an ongoing, moment by moment, day by day relationship with God, we just sort of check in, and he provides for us, and every once in a while we'll pray, but we're not dwelling with him, and he's not dwelling with us. That's available to us, but it's not something that we are really experiencing in our lives as Christians. Now, hold on to that idea and that thought. We're going to get back to that. But I want to ask another question based upon a very familiar psalm. It's Psalm 66:18, and it says this: "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." And I have a question for you with regard to that verse. Have you ever struggled with that verse? Have you ever wondered whether or not God, you're in fellowship with God because perhaps there is a sin that is unconfessed? Maybe you've heard it preached or taught that unconfessed sin breaks your fellowship with God. And that is true, as long as you understand what unconfessed means. But have you ever thought to yourself, well, I don't know if I'm in fellowship with God because maybe there's some sin I've committed and didn't even know I committed it. And that broke fellowship with God, and I don't even know if I am or not, and I don't really know if I'm in fellowship with God. I don't know if I'm close to him or not. Have you ever struggled with that? Have you ever struggled with maybe you have failed so often, so frequently, that when you think about being close to God, you think, I can't even get there. This passage is going to help us. And the problem with those kinds of questions really has to do with not understanding what it means to really confess our sins to the Lord. What does that mean? What does it mean? What does it not mean? And really not understanding the context of all of that. So when we come to 1 John chapter 1, I want to begin just in verse 1, and I want us to notice some things about this very first and second verses. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled." And it tells us what he's talking about here, it concerning the word of life. And I would suggest to you that the word of life here is not talking about the Bible, it's talking about Christ. He is the Word, John 1:1. And 1 John 1:1 is talking about the Word, that is Christ here too. And John is speaking here, he's an apostle, and he is saying among the other apostles that he has experienced Christ. That's what he's saying. And he says, we've seen him with our eyes, we've looked upon him, and our hands have handled him. We have genuinely experienced what it means to have an ongoing, moment-by-moment relationship with Christ. We have experienced Christ. He says, the life, that is Christ's life, was manifested, and we've seen and bear witness and declare to you that, and then notice what it says here, eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. He says, there is this eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he came to earth, and he's manifested to us so that we can have, John 17, eternal life ourselves. And what he's talking about here is not the idea, when it comes to eternal life, we often misunderstand what eternal life is really talking about. We think of eternal life as forever life. We think of it as only qualitative, or only quantitative. It is only talking about life that goes on forever. But eternal life in this context is talking about quality of life. It's talking about abundant life. That's why Christ said that I am come that you might have life, and that more what? Abundantly. God's intention for us as those who know Christ as our Savior is that we have abundant life in Christ, that we experience Christ, and when we experience Christ, we experience his eternal life, we experience abundant life in Christ because we are experiencing Christ. And the question is, are you and I experiencing Christ in that way? Can you imagine what it would be like as an apostle to walk with Christ, to hear him speak, to hear him teach, to sit down and eat a meal with him, to sit at his feet and just listen to him talk, to have him actually serve you and wash your feet? When you think of, to watch him do miracle after miracle, healing the blind and the lame, and can you imagine what it would have been like to experience Christ? And they're saying, John is saying, we've experienced him, but then notice what it says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also, the same fellowship we have with Christ and had with Christ, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The entire purpose that this book is written is so that you and I can have the same fellowship that the apostles had with Christ when he was on earth. That we can genuinely experience true eternal life. Eternal life doesn't start when we die. Eternal life starts when? When we come to Christ. When we now are giving our lives to him in faith and in trust, and then he gives us his abundant life in exchange. Eternal life is something that Christians, it's interesting, it's an interesting concept. It actually says in 1 Timothy 6:12 that eternal life is something that we need to work toward. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then he says later on in verse 19 of that chapter, lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. There is this, of course, it's only by faith that we gain eternal life. But this is something, eternal life is something that if we're going to live abundantly, we must stay focused on Christ. And we must stay focused on our fellowship with God. Because the key to having abundant life in Christ, according to this passage, is fellowship with God. That is, since Christ is our life, since Christ is life, He is eternal life, the more I am connected with Christ, the more I'm experiencing abundant life in Christ. And so the key to having eternal life or experiencing eternal life, you can have it and not experience it, just like you can be married and not live together. But the key to experiencing eternal life is dwelling with Christ or fellowshipping with Him. And so that's where we get problems. Where, okay, well, am I in fellowship with the Lord? Am I not in fellowship with the Lord? What does it mean to be in fellowship with the Lord? And that's something we want to address very quickly today. Let me have you turn your Bibles for just a minute to John 17, because I want you to see just some of the things that Christ says on our behalf as He goes to His Father in this intercessory prayer. And John, remember, this is the same writer as 1 John. John records this prayer of Christ in John 17, and John has this in mind when he writes 1 John chapter 1. So if you'll look at John 17 for a minute, and look at verse 3, it says, This is eternal life, that they may know you. What is eternal life? That they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Look at verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. He's really talking about us as disciples of Christ. And then, if you'll look at verse 11, now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come to you. Holy Father, keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. There's this oneness that Christ prays for. And then skip down to verse 21. That they all may be one. There's this oneness, this fellowship. They all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us. The same fellowship that Christ has with the Father, and the Father has with the Holy Spirit, the same fellowship that they have, we all get to have with Christ, and with the Father, and with His Spirit. It's incredible. It's amazing that we are allowed access to this kind of fellowship, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. There's a unity in the body of Christ as well in this passage that's here. Now, then the question really does become, okay, how do we maintain this fellowship with the Lord? Would you then turn back to 1 John, and let's pick up here, and we'll just note, first of all, that in verse 4 it tells us that if we will experience this abundant life in Christ, and if we will have fellowship with God the way that God wants us to, then in verse 4 it says that's how our joy is full. Do you want joy? You got to experience eternal life. You want to experience eternal life? You've got to have fellowship with God. That your joy may be full. Verse 5, this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. So how do we have fellowship with God? First point, first important thing to note is that you've got to know who God is. And you've got to know that He is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Well, what is light? Well, what is darkness? And in the passage, if you continue to read, you're going to find that darkness is sin. So what is light? Light is righteousness. It's saying that God walks in righteousness and holiness. It says in 1 Peter, be holy as I am holy. So it says in this passage that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There is this possibility as Christians that we can be self-deceived into thinking that we have fellowship with God when we don't. And the reason that we think we have fellowship with God when we don't is because we are walking in darkness. Now, what does it mean to walk in darkness? Well, what it means to walk in darkness is that we have unconfessed sin. It means that when we are walking in darkness, that we have sin that we know is sin, or that we are deceiving ourselves is not sin, or not all that bad, or not a big deal, or not really important to God. And because we are continuing in that sin, we are not walking in the light, we're not fellowshipping with God, and our fellowship is broken down. And it is true of what it says in Psalm 66:18, that the Lord doesn't hear us. It doesn't mean that the Lord can't hear us, it just simply means the Lord is not going to give us a hearing. We're not in fellowship with Him. So when we're talking about walking, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And if we walk in darkness, what does that mean? Well, three things to help you understand. What does it mean to walk in darkness? Number one, we walk in darkness when we believe that our sinful behavior does not matter to God. When we have sinful behavior and we deceive ourselves into thinking that it just doesn't really matter to God, then we're walking in darkness. Number two, we walk in darkness when we believe that God understands our needs to sin. Did you catch that? We walk in darkness when we think that God understands our need to sin. You ever deceived yourself into thinking that? That God understands. This is just what I need. And God knows what I need. So God understands this. We're walking in darkness. And then number three, we're walking in darkness when we believe that our sinful actions are not actually sinful. So we're self-deceiving ourselves into thinking that our sinful actions are not actually sinful. Do you understand? I mean, if you've been saved for any length of time, you know these things because they've been true of all of us at one time or another, where we sort of rationalize, it's not all that bad. And God says when we do that, we are walking in darkness. Then it says this, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, and this is so key, it's so important. Notice what it starts off with. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, how does this all work? Well, here's how it doesn't work. It doesn't work by us being constantly morbidly introspective and wondering all the time whether or not we've confessed every sin. You ever been like that before? I know I have. There have been times where I've said, I feel guilty all of the time because I just don't know if there's some sin I haven't confessed. You know the problem with that? Who am I focused on? Focused on me. I'm not going to have fellowship with Him. Am I focused on me? What does the passage say? How does it start? Who are we supposed to be focused on? We're supposed to walk in the what? In the light as who? As He is in the light. We're walking in the light as He is in the light. And when you walk in the light, what happens? The light reveals things. The light reveals our sin. And when the light reveals our sin and we recognize that we've sinned, then we recognize that and then we need to confess it. If we are walking the light and we have fellowship with God, we're walking the light and it reveals our sin and I say, no, that's not sin, and the light says it's sin and I'm saying, no, that's not sin, then we don't have fellowship with God anymore. Or I'm walking in the light and I say, I have sinned, and I say, well, that's just not a big deal, or God understands, or something like that, then I'm walking in darkness. Or I'm walking in the light, and sin, and it reveals that I'm sinful, I've got some sin, and I think, well, that is so bad, I can't be forgiven. All of those things would cause me then to walk in darkness. But listen, the key to this, you'll continue to walk in the darkness if you keep thinking to yourself, well, is there some sin that I haven't confessed? That's not what God wants us to do. What God wants us to do is to walk in the light. Focus on the light. Focus on Christ. And as you focus on Christ, just be very quick to agree with God about your sin when the light reveals your sin. Do you understand that? In other words, folks, is it not true that as you live the Christian life, you actually may find out, you may feel that you're more sinful now than you were earlier? And you know why? Because you're more aware of what Scripture says you're supposed to be doing. And you may even feel like you're in decline spiritually. But the truth of the matter is, the key to this thing is that you keep walking in the light and you agree with God about your sin and you confess it and you forsake it. You don't have to worry about the sin you don't know about that you may mistakenly have done that you're just not aware of. Why? Why don't you have to worry about that? Because if you keep walking in the light, it's going to be revealed. You don't have to worry about, you know what happens? We start trying to depend on ourselves to do what only God can do. I'm going to look for every sin I possibly can so I can be in fellowship with God. I'm depending on myself instead of depending upon Christ, who is the light, who can reveal my sin. The key is, I don't want to walk in darkness. How do I keep from doing that? When the sin is revealed, I agree with God about the sin. Whatever it is. It could be pride, it could be selfishness, those are usually the two brute things. Bitterness or resentment or laziness or whatever it is. And when those things happen, when the light reveals those things, I need to agree with God about them. That is exactly what it says here, verse 9. If we confess. So if we're walking in the light, we'll have fellowship with God. That's going to happen. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, that is, you're walking in the light, God reveals sin, and you say you have no sin, you're deceiving yourselves, the truth is not in you. So how do you deal with that? Verse 9, if we confess our sins. Now let me pause and say what this is. Actually, I'll say what it's not first. What is confession? Confession is not a verbal accounting of everything I've done wrong the way that a Catholic does. This is not a confessional booth here that's in mine. It is the Greek word homo legeo. And unfortunately, we all know what homo means. But legeo means word. Homo means same. Legeo means word. Logos, word. What it is say the same thing. In other words, when God says it's sin, and I need to say the same thing God does. In other words, I need to agree with God about it. When I disagree with God about sin he's revealed, then I'm walking in darkness. And what that simply means is that when I am walking in light, as he's in light, I'm in fellowship with him, when God reveals sin, then I need to agree with God, and I need to understand it. And Lord, yes, that's sin. That's wrong. I agree with you about that. I need to forsake that and move forward. It's really that simple. And when we do that, what does the Bible say? It says, he is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there's a very important reason that it says that. Because sometimes what we want, we are so self-focused that what we want to do when we are in a state where we realize our sin, we are determined to deal with it on our own. And we think to ourselves, I just can't handle this. I just can't really be forgiven. We almost sometimes like the feeling of guilt. And we want to stay in that feeling of guilt because we just feel like we ought to be there because we've sinned so badly, so we just need to stay in that. That's walking in darkness too. Because the Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Verse 7, the blood of Christ. It is all dependent upon the blood of Christ. You can be completely forgiven of every sin you've ever committed. Why? Because of the blood of Christ, and his faithfulness has nothing to do with you and whether or not you're faithful. Aren't you glad about that? And so fellowship with God is a moment-by-moment, day-by-day experience that we have where we are constantly walking in the light. And when sin comes, and when God reveals sin to us, we agree with God about it, we forsake it, and we keep walking in the light. And the encouragement and the challenge is, don't walk in darkness. Catch sin at its early movements. Be sensitive to the Lord's working in your life and in my life when it comes to this matter of sin. And if we will do that, and we'll catch pride early, and we'll catch selfishness early, and we'll catch those sins early because we're walking in the light, and we'll agree with God about them, and we will then understand, we will appropriate by faith His forgiveness in our lives because of His faithfulness, then we will be able to experience what? Abundant life in Christ. That's what God wants us to experience. Abundant, eternal life in Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You this evening and we pray, Lord, that we would, this was a very simple devotional, simple message, and yet profound truth that we need to be reminded of as Christians. And it really doesn't matter how long we've been saved, we've got to come back sometimes to these very simple truths about fellowship with You, about what it means to experience abundant life in You, Lord, and I pray that You'd help us to walk in the light as You are in the light. Help us to have day by day, moment by moment, fellowship with You. Help us to be said of us as we sang, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." What a sweet place to be. And Lord, as we walk in the light even this week, no doubt You reveal things in our lives that we need to agree with You about. We need to, with remorse and with repentance, we need to come to You and repent of those things and keep walking in the light. And I pray that You help us to do that so that we can experience the abundant life in Christ that You want us to experience. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are ready.